Switzerland! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, off we go tonight. Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, and as always, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Tonight, the call-in number, as always, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. On the heels of the Killer Bees, streaming at ESPN975.com. I heard Jeremy talking about the Astros going down today to the Atlanta Braves, I believe in extra innings. All right, defending champs are out. Real Madrid rope-a-doping Manchester City. 1-1 in regulation. Penalty kicks is how Real Madrid advances. Antonio Rudiger hitting the winning penalty after misses from Manchester City's Bernardo Silva and Mateo Kovacic. What can we say about this game? Close to 70% of the possession for Manchester City today. They had 9 shots on goal to 3 for Real Madrid. I think, more importantly, some really clear-cut chances for Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne that were skied over the bar that don't count on the 9 shots on goal. There were only 3 shots on goal for Real Madrid. Okay, I know Madridistas aren't going to like this. This was anti-soccer today. I'm a huge Carlo Ancelotti fan, but aesthetically, just playing for the counterattack, you can call it smart, you can call it brilliant, you can call it whatever you want. For me, it was ugly. But they didn't want to open up against Manchester City, nor do many people. Even Vinicius Jr., Vinny Jr. wasn't really dangerous on the counterattack, but they got their one goal. 33 shots to 8 for you data heads out there. 33 shots to 8 in favor of Manchester City. 18 corners to 1. So data is telling you who dominated the game, who had the ball. Finally, they get a tying goal from De Bruyne, but then it goes through extra time. Only 2 saves for Ederson, 8 saves for Lunin, and it goes down to penalty kicks, which is like a flip of the coin. And in the end, it was misses from Bernardo Silva and Kovacic, and then the game-winning penalty was hit by Antonio Rudiger. So the defending champs are out, Guillermo. They're out. And we now know what the semifinals are going to look like because Bayern Munich won 1-0 over Arsenal. Our friend Andrew Carlson is probably now, we might have to walk him off the ledge maybe, right? It's possible.
Yeah, I feel sorry for, you know, any Arsenal fan out there after this weekend result and today.
But they're not out of it. They're not out of it. 6 rounds to go in the Premier League. Don't begin to think that's over yet. People are going to say now, oh, okay, Man City's going to be able to dial in on the Premier League and winning the title and all that. Bayern Munich 1-0 over Arsenal. Joshua Kimmich, here's his goal. I think we have it, don't we? 1-0 today, and Kimmich sealing the deal for Bayern Munich. So this ends up being 3-2 on aggregate over Arsenal. Kimmich in the 63rd. Here's how it sounded.
Leroy Sané, pushed away by David Raya. Danger is still there. This is Guerrero. And the free header! Smashed in by Kimmich! And Bayern Munich have the lead!
Yeah, he got a good run at it. I mean, that was a very, very powerful header. Back to City and Real Madrid. Rodrigo in the 12th. Now, this was bizarre. Kyle Walker loses, I don't know what he was doing, but he's raising his hand for offside, he's waving his arms, and he totally loses Rodrigo, and Rodrigo scores. And as everybody knows, you get the first, you know, Real Madrid gets the first. They're pretty good at the, you know, cutting the head of the snake off and then seeing games out, and it worked today. Here's what it sounded like, 12th minute Rodrigo.
Wonderfully controlled by Bellingham. Valverde. Vinicius Junior looked offside to me. Square to Rodrigo. Terrific save. He scored. A goal inside 12 minutes for Real Madrid.
Madrid had some traveling fans. By the way, this was at the Etihad. Kevin De Bruyne, very motivated today. Was really hard for them to find moments where Real Madrid pulled out of their shape. It was very rare. I mean, basically, this game was played in like 1/6 of the field. And here's De Bruyne finally gets the equalizer in the 76. It's a clear from Rudiger that goes right to him, and he just smashes it in the roof of the net.
Oh, he's found a cross. Chance for De Bruyne! Jeremy Doku has unlocked the game, and Kevin De Bruyne has pounced. And Manchester City are on terms with 15 minutes to go.
And then it goes to penalties. Antonio Rudiger with the winning penalty in this one.
Antonio Rudiger to send Real Madrid through. Revenge! The sweetest revenge for Real Madrid. Shredded in Manchester last year. Celebrating in Manchester tonight. Real Madrid are Champions League semi-finalists for the 12th time in 14 seasons.
So here's what we got. We got PSG against Dortmund in one semifinal, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich in the other. Let's get your thoughts on the Champions League. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Let's go to Gio. Gio, what's your thoughts on the Champions League?
Hey, how's it going, y'all? I'm a Barca fan through and through. I got to give, you know, obviously Madrid the respect. I mean, they were able to hold off Manchester City. I mean, just penalty kicks are penalty kicks, and it is what it is. But my question is, who? I mean, Bayern just, you know, they missed out on the Bundesliga. You have Dortmund with a surprising win, and obviously PSG, who were able to figure it out, obviously after, you know, being a man up the Barcelona game yesterday. So who is the favorite? Like, who? I'm not impressed. You know, I am impressed with, you know, Madrid's performances today, but to be dominated like that and take it all the way to penalties, I mean, it's just, you know, it was, you know, hey, you know, on their you know.
But you know, Gio, that's the Real Madrid way, isn't it? It isn't always pretty.
Yeah.
They know how to win titles. I think they have to be the favorite in this one. Listen, don't sleep on Bayern Munich, despite the fact that Bayer Leverkusen won the Bundesliga, because they're tried and tested, and maybe they're motivated in a very differing way. I think Dortmund might be the dark horse. And of course, PSG's got boatloads of attacking talent. Like you said, with 10 men, I felt that was over with 10 men after Araujo was sent off in that game. And then obviously Xavi got sent off a little bit later. That ended up being, I was actually very disappointed with Barcelona not showing a little bit more backbone in that game, even with 10 men. I think the favorite right now has to be Real Madrid. Gio, thank you very much for the phone call. 713-780-3776. By the way, we have Soccer Matters Extra interviews tonight. Tremendous interview for those of you who are Barcelona fans and La Liga fans. You go to ESPN975.com and the podcast tonight. Those interviews are going to be there. We have Jordi Sunyer from TV3 in Barcelona. He's also talking about the fact that there's a real good chance, it seems now, that Rafa Marquez will become the next coach of Barcelona. It's a lot of really good stuff in about a 30-minute interview there. And then Austin FC goalkeeper Brad Stuver over there as well. So we're hitting you with a lot of content here. And later on tonight, we'll have Eric Goodman of the Verde Report and the Austin Chronicle. Let's take another Champions League phone call here. Let's go to Bill. Bill, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn. I just have a question for you. So isn't the main thing to win? Because that's what I thought Real Madrid did today. And the second part, I know you kind of highlighted it, but I don't hear it from other things. I mean, Man City created their own bed by making the mistake in the back. Kyle Walker claiming for that offside. I know you talked about it, but that was a huge thing, and that really changed the game.
I agree 100%. It seems like he just lost him. Look, it's all about winning. I get it. But when I don't have a dog in the fight, I like the aesthetics, and I generally pull for teams that play more of the attacking football. This can be positioned any way you want. If you're a Real Madrid fan, you're probably saying, Glenn's full of it. Who cares? We won. We're on to the semifinals. You did. But you were dominated. And that's just the way they elect to play it. And by getting that first goal, I agree with you. I think the tactical edge is there. And away they go. And you know what? It's a very good chance they're going to lift the title, because historically they find ways to win. It's crazy. But Kyle Walker looked like he just had a moment of a lack of concentration. He lost Rodrigo, and it led to the goal. Anything else, Bill?
We ended up dropping him.
Oh, okay.
But he did hear out everything you said.
Okay. Anybody else here? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. By the way, Dortmund got past Atletico Madrid. Big time. Let's go to Marcel Sabitzer's game winner, 74th minute. This would make it 5-4 on aggregate. That was a crazy game yesterday, Atletico Madrid. Here's Sabitzer for Dortmund to get them to the semifinals.
Long. Looking for Brandt. Fulkrug in the mix again. Sabitzer. Oh, it's 4-2 Dortmund. And they're ahead of the tie. Two goals in 2 minutes.
All right, let's go to the phone lines again, 713-780-3776. I think it's Siler or is it Tyler? You're up.
What's up? It's Tyler. So first off, I want to say up to Chelsea forever. This is another case of Erling Haaland not showing up in big games. He doesn't show up against the Big Six in the Premier League. Doesn't show up in the Champions League. He likes to poach farmers. If Man City has Cole Palmer, I bet they make a goal and move on. What are your thoughts on that?
So here's what I would say about Erling Haaland. I think one of the big questions when he was coming over from the Bundesliga in Dortmund was he was in a league that was very transitional, and he was allowed to run. And we all know he's a massive man, but he can run. And he had a lot of open field play, had a lot of transitional play where he could get opened up and run. So the natural way to think about him coming to the Premier League in a team like Manchester City was, look, all of a sudden, you're going to be playing in these games like today where teams are sitting, inside their, in and around their 18-yard box, and there's absolutely no space. And you're going to have your back to goal. And that's not really your game. And the question was, could this improve under Pep Guardiola? And I think as of late, yeah, he's a ghost, because it's not easy for him to play like this, especially against, a team that has a structure like Real Madrid. They're not giving you an inch of any space. I mean, you're going to score goals. If you do, it's going to be difficult. But I think tactically it's very difficult for him. No question about it. So I appreciate that, Tyler.
Thank you. Have a good night, man.
All right, you too. Let's hit Jonathan up real quick here. He's got a question about the Houston Dynamo, and then we're going to hit a break here. Jonathan, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, so thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to say it's been fun to watch the team in the back two-thirds of the field with, Mikael and Bardo and all of our guys just playing their hearts out from the back, Clarkey in goal. And we're clearly owning possession. The passes are coming together. But it feels like we get to that final third and we don't have any confidence to shoot, or we're just passing it around. And I'm curious if you have any thoughts on what opens up the game, what gets us more aggressive, what gets us more chances and looks on goal.
All right, so let me answer your question with a question of my own to you. Does it look any different than last year?
Not much. As far as like shape and pace,
The final third. I mean the final third. We all know this is a very good defending team. We all know it's a good possession team, but the final third doesn't look any different. Now you're putting your hopes in a lot of guys that don't have a history of scoring a lot of goals. You're playing right now with Bossy and Sebastian Kowalczyk, who, by the way, scored a fantastic goal. But there were only two shots on goal. He had both of them. These are slim margins.
Right.
You're playing with a bunch of guys in the front part of your team that don't historically have a history of scoring a lot of goals. So I think we have to temper, you know, hey, why aren't we scoring more goals? Chance creation. I mean, look, the Dynamo found a way to scrape through last year. They did have Corey Baird, who had eight goals, but they're doing it now without a striker. I think the eggs are in the basket of Sebas Ferreira getting healthy and Hector Herrera coming back. And then with some of the rule changes in Major League Soccer, they may be able to add some attacking talent in the summertime. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Dynamo are 4-2-1, third in the West, without Hector Herrera and Ferreira. I think you'd be pretty happy. 2-1-1 heading into the game against Austin FC this weekend. Austin FC's 2-3-3, 11th. So they went 2-1 over Minnesota United with only a total of seven shots, two shots on goal. I'll tell you what, it was worth the wait with Kowalczyk's goal. And Sebastian Kowalczyk is going to be our guest in the next segment. I do want to remind you, Copa America is coming up. June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica. June 24th, Colombia, Paraguay. July 4th, quarterfinal. Likely could be Lionel Messi if Argentina wins their group. And you also got Inter Miami over there. And they're taking on Tigres. This is Tigres country. And that's going to be at Energy Stadium. And then prior to that, June 8th, I believe, it's Brazil and Mexico up in College Station. It's crazy. Get your tickets, LSSE.net, LSSE.net. Caller number 3, I got a pair of tickets to Houston Dynamo and Austin FC this weekend right now. Coming up, interview with Sebastian Kowalczyk, who had the game-winning goal for the Dynamo against Minnesota United.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
There's a lot of strange stuff that happens in the world of soccer.
It's clear something strange is happening.
So much so that Glenn ended up buying out a theater to showcase all of the weird stuff. It's time for Glenn's Theater of the Bizarre.
Ooh. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters as we continue on here tonight. As everybody knows, you got a Texas Derby Copa Tejas match this weekend. Austin FC, Sebastian Driussi comes in town to take on the Houston Dynamo. You get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Also, don't forget, you got the Copa America this summer. You got Inter Miami and Tigres. You got Brazil and Mexico up in College Station. You get those tickets at LSSE.net. That's LSSE.net. He scored the game winner at Minnesota United on the road, and what a goal it was. He is Sebastian Kowalczyk, and he joins us now. Sebastian, thanks so much for coming on.
I'm so happy, and thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. You know, I want to talk a little bit about you personally before we kind of get into the game. Growing up in Poland, what were some of your first footballing influences? You know, was it your father? Was it some of the legendary players like Dana, Gadoka, Lato? Who was it?
All my family is laughing because nobody was playing football, you know. And everybody's curious how it happened that I love football so much. I don't know. Since I started to walk, I was all the time with the ball. And all I dream was just the football, you know. So I don't know how it happened. I think it's because of the God he gave me this, and I'm just happy that I can do what I love, you know. That's the most important. I'm so happy in my life. So my father wasn't playing football, so he of course was my first hero, but he didn't play football, so I don't know. I just you know, since I started to walk, as I said, I was all the time with the ball, and it was only one thing which was so interesting for me.
Talking to Sebastian Kowalczyk, had his first MLS goal, and what a goal it was, game winner
against Minnesota United. Poland and football, you know, I mean, for somebody older like me, we remember that wonderful 74 World Cup team with all those famous names. I mean, obviously there's Robert Lewandowski in modern day football right now, but what does the sport mean to the people of Poland in general?
I think a lot, you know, every young kid, when I was young, it was like this, every young kid, we were just going out of the house, and doesn't matter where, we were just playing football. So when the national team is playing, everybody is in front of the TV. So I think, and I hope it's like this. Football for the Polish people means a lot, but we are as well good in volleyball. So a lot of people are watching this. Also the handball. But I think football is the biggest sport in the world, and of course we had better times, as you said, this World Cup. But I still believe that we can achieve something in the next Euro. So for me, football means a lot, and I hope it's the same for all the people in Poland.
Talking to Sebastian Kowalczyk of the Houston Dynamo. So do you, you know, even though you were not born, do you remember names like Kaz Dania, Robert Gadoka, Lato? I mean, are these big figures in your mind, even though they came, you know, prior to you being born?
Yeah, of course, I know these names. They are the legends in Polish football, but I never watched their games. You know, I was... as you said, I didn't born yet, and then when I was younger, I was watching the guys who were playing in that moment in the national team. So of course I know the names, but I never watched their games. I was too small.
So I was a kid in New Jersey, and that 74 World Cup obviously had West Germany and the Netherlands in the final. But Poland had a great team, and I always remember their white jerseys with the red trim, and what a great team. I think they ended up in third. I think they won the third place game. Yes. So, but you growing up, what Polish player did you look to?
When I was young, I was looking, and my idol was Ronaldinho, you know. This was the guy who was doing amazing things with the ball. And I was just watching him, but his prime was like, I think, 2-3 years, no more. And then I started watching those guys like Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, this big battle between Ronaldo and Messi, Real and Barcelona. You were going to the school and you were, you know, argument with other guys who were the fans of Barcelona. So this is my time, and now I'm more focused on my football. Of course, I'm watching the biggest stage and the best players, but I don't have any more like idol. Now I like to watch the players who has the similar maybe style of playing like me, and I can take something from them. So and also the Champions League games in the USA. They are in TV so early, like 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. So I'm father now, and I need to take care about my son. I prefer to spend the time with him, so I have no time to watch these games. But yeah, I try to analyze the game of the good players on my position, and always take something for me.
Talking to Sebastian Kowalczyk, Dynamo attacker. Okay, so let's just get into maybe the differences in playing in the Polish First Division to Major League Soccer.
I think it's a lot of quality in MLS, especially in the Latino guys. The guys from Argentina, Mexico, Panama, like our Coco, And those guys has a lot of quality, and nobody know them in Europe, but they are so good players, and probably they will go to Europe soon. So when I came here, I didn't expect so much quality on the pitch like it's like I see this now, you know. And in Europe, especially in Poland, we have a lot of good stadiums, good atmosphere on the stadiums, good fans, also good players. But I think, if I have to be honest, I think in MLS it's a little bit more quality.
You got a full preseason this year. I'm sure that helped you as opposed to coming in when you did last year. I mean, your first four games, you played exceptionally well, and I guess the preseason must have really helped you kind of get more acclimated and understand your teammates.
Yeah, of course. Also gave me, I think, more confidence. You know, I have much better contacts with the guys from the dressing room. We know each other better. Also, when I came in last season, it was middle of the season, so the team was already playing good, and they know each other on the pitch. And we were winning every game by game. It was a really successful season. It was difficult to jump into the first squad, you know. But you need to be patient. And I was waiting. And this chance came, you know, I want to do everything to be a starter. And the rivalization, the team is big. We have a lot of quality, a lot of good players. So you need to be ready every training. You need to show every training what you have the best, because otherwise you will be on the bench, you know. So I'm so happy that this season started like it started. I have a lot of minutes in this season, and I appreciate it. And I just want to give something back from me, you know, like goals, like assists. I want to, like last game, I want to give the team the 3 points. I was so happy that it came finally, because I was waiting for this goal a little bit of time. And now I'm like, you know, like the first one. First one is already done, so now I'm looking forward, and I just want to help the team as much as I can.
Well, your first one was one of a spectacular nature. To protect the identity of the defender, we're not going to mention his name, but that was you gave him the slip, and the finish was fantastic. Talk about the role that you're playing, because you're really not playing as a traditional nine. It has some different qualities and expectations to it. Maybe you can speak to that a little bit, Sebastian.
When you're going to see me in the real life, then you will know why I'm not playing like a real number nine, you know. I'm not so big. That's why I don't keep the ball with two defenders on my back. But this is also not our style, I think. Mm-hmm. We don't kick the ball long. We want to play football, like really good football. We want to play on the ground. So, yeah, for me, it's I'm in front. We just switch our positions every time. Sometimes he's number nine, sometimes it's me. We understand each other more and more. So when we keep the ball, I'm just the guy who came down to help, to switch the side or something, you know, to make an advantage in the middle. And if we understand well each other, we are really dangerous. So I'm happy that I'm playing. It doesn't matter where, because I need the minutes. I need to play. That's why I'm just happy. And if the team needs me on the position number nine, I will play there, and I will try my best, you know.
It's unique because you're not necessarily occupying a center back, and you're playing off them. So you're actually making them make a lot of decisions, right? They have to decide, well, do I go with him? Do I stay? Do I break my line here and go with him? I mean, it's really interesting because I'm watching people deal with you and Bossy, and it's a little different than just knowing that there's going to be a center forward up there up against you.
Yeah, I try to run a lot, you know, to make them busy, to think about me all the time. This is the only way I can make them problems, you know, because if we start to fight, probably I will lose every duel. But so I needed to find the other solution, other way. So, you know, the season is long, and the last goal is already passed. So I don't want to focus anymore on this game. I just want to look forward and to prove every game that I can help, you know.
Sebastian Kovalchuk joining us. By the way, for Dynamo fans and MLS fans, Sebastian has represented Poland at every single level, has even been on the bench for the senior national team back in 2021 when you played England. You've made all the steps. You're close to that first senior international cap. I would think you still are hopeful one day to play for your country at the senior level.
Of course, that's the biggest honor in my football life. But I need to wait. I need to wait, and I need to be patient. It was always like this in my football life. So I'm still waiting. I'm patient. I'm doing my job every day. Everything. What has to be? It will be. Yeah, it's like this.
Yeah.
So
what will be? What will be?
Yeah, what will be. So I'm just waiting. I'm patient. It's my target. And my dream. I want to play for the national team, but first of all, I need to be good in my club, and I need to show that I deserve this call-up. So, just as I said, be patient, doing my job, focus on the club, and if the national team coach will call me, I will be there.
Sebastian, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great to meet you. Certainly enjoy watching you play, as I know the Dynamo fans do. Best of luck against Austin FC this weekend, and we look forward to seeing you down at Shell Energy Stadium scoring more of those great cracking goals like you did against Minnesota.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. That's Sebastian Kovalchuk joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. Did you ever want to experience the closest thing to a live match? If you do, you head over to Pitch 25, the largest soccer beer garden in Houston. It's the place for you. I'm sure today people were over there watching the Champions League. 70 screens, 100 beers, indoor soccer field. Pitch 25, the ultimate fan destination. You're going to want to watch Copa America there, the Euros, World Cup qualifying. 2120 Walker and Edo, Houston's go-to soccer bar, is Pitch 25. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more to come.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. LamontBrands.com, that's where you get your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats, all to benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. LamontBrands.com. We got orange Dynamo colors there. We got a new red one in. I'm hoping some of the Liverpool supporters groups or Arsenal pick those up, or maybe U of H Cougars. Soccer Matters t-shirts to benefit the 501c charity. Also, Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture. My house is full of the products. I've got Stressless, got the L-shaped couch, beautiful leather chairs for my marble kitchen island. DanishInspirations.com is the number.
There's a lot of strange stuff that happens in the world of soccer.
It's clear something strange is happening.
So much so that Glenn ended up buying out a theater to showcase all of the weird stuff. It's time for Glenn's Theater of the Bizarre.
All right, it doesn't get much more bizarre than this. Al Hilal 4-1 over Al Ittihad in a cup final in Saudi Arabia. Abdelrazak Hamdallah, who has represented Morocco, well, he scored in the loss, but also missed the penalty kick. He's walking down the tunnel. He tosses water at a fan. The fan then whips out a whip and starts to whip him. This is in a soccer stadium in Saudi Arabia and is hitting him. The player whipped by the fan during the confrontation after the Saudi Super Cup final. And this Moroccan player, first of all, I don't know how somebody gets a whip into the stadium. Second of all, nobody's revealed who this guy is. But that is as bizarre as it gets, and that is our theater of the bizarre.
Yeah, that was weird.
All right, this isn't weird. He's one of the best when it comes to covering Austin FC. He is Eric Goodman. He joins us now. He has the Verde Report in the Austin Chronicle. Eric, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Glenn, but, you know, weird is kind of what we do in Austin, so I'm not sure if I'm going to take that as a compliment that you intended it, because we try to keep it weird around here.
I don't think you want it weird like that with people whipping out whips. That was just totally bizarre. I don't know if you saw that highlight or not, but it was just totally bizarre stuff. And, of course, the guy who did it hasn't been named. You wonder if he's a part of the club, actually.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. It's the kind of thing that no amount of money that they want to spend on their league can get rid of. I mean, that's the cultural thing, which is why so many people will not watch games involving some of their favorite players that go over to leagues like that, because you just have, you know, stories like this that hopefully over time, you know, yeah, I saw the headline and I couldn't believe it, but also, you know, you hear about things that happen in stadiums like this, and nothing really is surprising anymore.
Absolutely shocking. And by the way, Neymar was there, and so was Karim Benzema. All right, Eric, let's get into Austin FC. Synopsis on a 2-3-3 season so far, 11th in the West. I know there's been a lot of pressure floating around Austin now. Give us your synopsis on where this team is right now coming into Houston on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely in a state of flux, because prior to their last match when they went on the road against St. Louis and just looked awful, looked like, you know, they were there to eke out a 0-0 draw at best, you know, barely pressed forward at all with any ambition. Prior to that, though, two games at home, you know, it was the best soccer they've played all season by a large stretch. They were dynamic, they were creative, they were turning possession into consistent opportunities, which has always been kind of the knock against Josh Wolf's teams, is that, you know, he might like to talk about how that's their goal, but it rarely has played out that way on the pitch. Getting Sebastian Giroussi back to full health has been huge, but this team has just been so bad on the road that I think this match against Houston, which is a team they've had a lot of success against, I think they've played 8 times since Austin joined MLS. Austin's won 5 of them, so this is a pretty interesting test to see if Austin can finally go on the road and get a point or get a win.
Eric Goodman, Verde Report, Austin Chronicle. Highly suggest you get into his reading. I love the way he covers Austin FC, and he does it with a bit of an edge. He's not afraid to be in a very healthy and fair way critical, which I think we need more of that type of commentary and reporting in Major League Soccer. All right, Sebastian Giroussi, 2 years ago, guy was off the charts and off the chains. Unbelievable season. Clearly, to me, could have been the MVP. Former River Plate, 28 years of age. You said he's getting back into the swing of things. Is it really all dependent on how he goes, Austin FC goes?
I mean, it shouldn't be. That's not how you develop a consistent, you know, thriving attack, but it just has been that. You know, in every period where Austin FC has had success, Giroussi's been at the center of it. Obviously, it was scoring goals in 2022, which he did. Like, I think he led the league that year in difference between goals scored and expected goals, which is to say, like, he's scoring goals that you wouldn't expect any player to score from. And so he's still very impactful. Since then, he's been very impactful just in build-up. And he's still, you know, I love watching him just with the ball at his feet dribble. He'll play passes that are really only kind of the elite players and the elite creative minds in the game can see and then can execute. But he hasn't been the goal scorer that he was in 2022, and that's really where Austin struggled. And they're just, you know, an older team for such a young franchise that hasn't been in the league very long. Their roster and their players that are, you know, most commonly in the starting 11, it's a pretty old team, a pretty slow team. So they've been caught out on the break a lot this year, and you know, there's not much Sebastian Bruce you can do about that.
Talking to Eric Goodman. All right, so Ethan Finley, Jassy Zardes, they're in the twilight of their careers. They've had great careers. Emiliano Rigoni hasn't really worked out. I guess we can take a look at Diego Rubio and Obreon. Have they been a good complement to him? Or are they potentially the new complements to him, both acquired in the offseason?
Yeah, I think both have brought exactly what Austin needed in different ways. Rubio's brought the kind of just like personality first and foremost. Rubio's got such an edge to him. He's such a competitor. It's the kind of thing that Austin would seem to me would just didn't have, especially last year. 2 years ago, they had center back Ruben Gabrielson, who was kind of that firebrand, that rah-rah leader that you know they sorely missed last year. And Rubio gives them a little bit of that edge. And he also has been dangerous, and he's just a kind of an irritant against, you know, opposing center backs. He just kind of grinds and grinds, and sometimes will get on the end of a chance. And then Obreon, you know, we talk about how slow Austin FC has been. He does bring some speed and some dynamism, some verticality. And a lot of what they've done, like I said, those last two home games where they scored six matches, their first two wins, he was kind of at the center of creating that. And also, you mentioned Rigoni. I don't know if it's a coincidence that in those two games where they looked their best, Rigoni logged 0 minutes across despite being completely healthy.
Yeah. Talking to Eric Goodman, Obreon, Dynamo fans are going to know him from his time at FC Dallas. You know, Diego Rubio is one of these guys that you go, man, you know, he's obviously got talent, Chilean, and, you know, he kind of bounces around a few teams, and you just think that a coach is thinking, okay, it's going to be me that's going to unlock his potential. How much of him really producing is going to play a part in this team being more dangerous?
I mean, Austin, it's funny because Josh Wolf, you know, was a striker in his playing career, and yet since he's been the head coach of Austin FC, the striker position's just never really been a productive spot for this club. And I don't know if that's by design. I mean, obviously so much happened from Jerusi. I know in a lot of the way Josh Wolf, his teams like to play is to push the ball out wide, get crosses in. You know, Diego Rubio, I stood next to him. He's not that tall. I don't know exactly what he's listed at, but I mean, he's not a tall target forward. Maybe they expected Jassy Zardes to be more along those lines, but that's also never really been his game. He's more of just kind of a poacher in the 6-yard box. So it does seem like an awkward fit. But again, he does make up for that in just constant effort, constant just irritation of the back line. And he has been able to start getting on the end of some chances and give Austin some goals.
See how that's going to work out with Diego Rubio, and has had real flashes and glimpses of pretty remarkable talent at times. Matchups, transition, you mentioned before, the Dynamo will look to get that verticality and transition through Aliyu Ibrahim, who's the leading scorer with 3, and of course Obreon. How has Austin FC dealt in transitional moments this year so far over the course of, you know, the first 8 games?
Yeah, it's been a huge talking point in Austin because it's been, you know, pretty abysmal, and they know it. And they can't seem to do much about it. I mean, Austin FC conceded 10 goals in open play this season. 6 of them have come, as I looked back, you know, in what I would consider transitional moments where you're kind of scrambling, you know, and they just, I think it starts in the midfield because you've got, Josh Wolf has been playing kind of this 3-man midfield with obviously Drewsi, who's not even much of a midfielder. He does, you know, he plays kind of that number 10 attacking midfield. And then you have Alex Ring and Danny Pereira, who both like to get forward, and neither are great ball winners. So I think that's where, if I'm Josh Wolf, I'm looking at somebody like Johan Valencia, who, you know, made his name in Colombia as just somebody who chases down and is a stopper and does exactly what they've missed. And also in the back line, in transition, just Julio Cascante and some of these defenders have a tendency to lose their mark on, you know, in these breakaways, and you just end up with a lot of Austin FC players throwing their hands up as a cross goes in and an unmarked guy finishes it. So that's really what they've tried to clean up, but it hasn't shown. They haven't really made much progress, and that's how they conceded their lone goal against St. Louis, which led to a 1-0 loss last week.
By the way, Julio Cascante picked up a yellow in that game. He's not available. Can the Dynamo midfield overrun them with the likes of Artur and Coco Carrasquilla? Is it just too much power and strength?
I don't know if that's how I would play it if I was Houston. I would let Austin have as much of the ball as they want. And then, like you said, you know, play on the break. You know, Austin, especially on the road, even though when they've had possession, they haven't really looked to do too much with it. I mean, that's really been their way of defending, in a sense, is just holding the ball, being very conservative with it. If I'm Ben Olsen, I'm letting Austin FC have as much of the ball as they want. Houston's been tremendous defensively this year. They do have the pace to counter, and I really think you're not risking too much by letting Austin have, you know, as much of the ball as they want.
Yeah, and the Dynamo at home, they tend to be very aggressive. They will settle into a mid-block and at times deeper and certainly can have transitional moments. But I'm interested to see how much Austin really comes out in this game on the road, because they certainly didn't come out and really, I don't think the chance creation wasn't there. I think Josh Wolf was saying the execution lacked and they might have been one pass away from it. They got into decent positions, I guess he said, in the box.
Right? They're always one pass away. You know, it's always one pass away.
Eric, you are one of the best. We appreciate you coming on tonight. Are you coming down to Houston for this game?
I don't believe I'm going to be able to, you know, but purse strings are tight around here, so I might just have to watch this one from the road, but definitely looking forward to it. And these Copa Tejas matches, you know, have been, it's a nice little break in the just monotony of regular MLS matchups.
For sure. Eric, thank you so much for coming on. We look forward to having you on again. Great stuff.
All right. Anytime, Glenn. Talk to you later.
All right. Eric Goodman, Austin Chronicle, Verde Report. He really does a great comprehensive job, and you know, he's not tied to the club, so he whips in his opinion, and there is a little bit more pressure on up there.
You know, Glenn does have other opinions outside of the matters of soccer.
Wait, really?
Yes, he does.
Time now for Glenn's non-soccer take.
All right, we're talking commercialization of sports. The Wall Street Journal recently had an article by Jason Gay, and it was quoted, "Is golf scaring off its fans?" And I read this with interest because, listen, we all know sports is getting so commercialized right now. We sometimes wonder if it's really about the sport or what the sport can do for others. Golfers are worried, though, professional golfers, that they are losing fans due to the fight. And the author, Jason Gay, called it a civil war between the PGA Tour and the Saudi-funded LIV Golf. He highlights separate tours, different people in roles of responsibility and bosses, fields, styles of competition, world ranking issues now, and the fight over power and money between what he calls the jet set clubhouse class. So apparently now, golfers are concerned that the loyal, authentic golf fan is being pushed away. And of course, they aren't pushed away from the Masters. Everybody tuned into that, but maybe some of the other PGA events. So golfers are concerned. It's going to do it for that segment. And yeah, I have an opinion once in a while on other things. All right, I think that's going to do it here tonight. Before we go, by the way, Caitlin Clark, 4-year contract. She'll get $338,056. So she's basically making first year $76,000, second $78,000, $85,000, $97,000. Yes, I know you're out there going, oh my God, but she's making so much money in sponsorship. Yes. But one of the beauties of her coming to this league is hopefully that she's going to raise the salaries. And the salaries seem higher in the NWSL. All right. Guillermo Lazo Romero, another good job here tonight. We got a lot of content coming out. Don't forget, the Brad Stuver interview is up right now on ESPN975.com. It's up. You want to hear Brad Stuver, goalkeeper for Austin FC, Jordi Sunyer, TV3 Barcelona, on everything Barcelona. Will Rafa Marquez become the next coach? We don't know. We thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Check out the podcast. Hit us up on YouTube, Soccer Matters. We will have a pregame show on Saturday, as I'll be doing the call on Apple TV for the Dynamo Austin FC. Thanks for tuning in tonight. And remember, next Monday night, 6 o'clock Central, Wednesday, 6 o'clock Central. Remember, soccer matters.